It's all about love. That's what I'm going to say. It really touched, and I'm really very grateful to the Ministry of International Students Incorporated, the Ministry of ISI, which Brother Paul is involved. And it changed my life. You know, I came to the United States as a high caste Hindu, didn't know anything about the gospel, very little, if most. And it really changed my entire life, my perception of life. It really made a great difference in my life. And you know, all of us, we can make a great deal of difference if we allow God to use us. You know, we can make a tremendous impact in His kingdom. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony and also deliver you a message of inspiration. First of all, I bring greetings from the churches of Nepal, from the people of Nepal, from the country of Nepal. You've just heard from Pastor, and you must have read in the news that there was an election. Of course, before that election, people were threatened that, you know, the communists threatened them that if they are elected by votes, by ballots, is okay. If they are not elected by ballot, they will take over anyway. So one way or the other, they didn't give them any choice. So one way or the other, they will be there. So they voted them because they just to avoid any kind of a bloodshed. So, you know, I come from a country that is identified as one of the most dangerous for Christians. But we live by faith. And God takes care of it. And there is risk and danger all the time for Christians. I was born in a very high caste Hindu family that had very close connections to the ruling class and very influential politically, socially, economically, which has put us at risk all the time, even more so now, because now the monarchy has been thrown out. It's been removed, and all the democratic forces has been thrown out. It's in very low proportion now. So the communists are in power. So they, you know, we don't know what is in store. I don't know when I return what is in store. And Nepal has always been very close to the gospel right from the beginning. Missionaries were not allowed. There were no open churches. And so, you know, there are very small percentage of Christians in that country because it has always been very resistant to the gospel. And the number of believers in Nepal were maybe a few hundred, at the most 1,000. It was illegal even to identify yourself as Christians. They were persecuted. As a result, I grew up never being exposed to the gospel. I did not have access to the Bible, nor did I ever get an opportunity to meet Christians. Yet, I did have some questions. Because being born in a high caste Hindu family, there were certain aspects of Hinduism that really bothered me. I noticed the way the caste system had intended effects on the poor lower caste, because once the caste system inhibited many people from, you know, prospering, from growing, they were suppressed. They were not given equal opportunity. There was a lot of discrimination, and the way the women were treated as second-class citizens, they were suppressed. They were not given an opportunity. The men got an opportunity to, and the boys were encouraged to go to school, but the girl children did not get an opportunity. So there was a lot of discrimination, and that really bothered me a lot, because these were something that I didn't feel good about the Hindu philosophy. And then the discrimination, the way the women were treated, the caste system, that really didn't resonate with me very well. And so my parents, my grandparents, we thought I was a troublemaker, you know, raising these kind of issues that, you know, traditionally they were kind of leading the society. So I was thought of right from the beginning, this guy is a troublemaker, so let's get this guy straightened out, you know. So they decided to send me to a missionary school in Kathmandu. I was born in Kathmandu. I was raised in Kathmandu. So I was sent to a missionary school, St. Xavier School. That was a Jesuit school. And they sent me to that school in order that I get good education and I change my perception and I follow the tradition. Of course, little did they realize that this was God's plan. Not their plan, but God's plan. So I did get very limited exposure. Didn't get a lot of exposure, but I did get some exposure, but I was still thirsty to know more about the gospel. And I wanted to know more, and I had that opportunity after I completed my education at St. Xavier's, and I got an opportunity to come to the United States to pursue higher education. And for many, to come to the United States for higher education is a dream come true, because United States is the best in the world in education. There is no other parallel to the United States in terms of education. So that was a dream come true for me to come to the U.S. to pursue MBA and PhD. And so it was at this time, when I came in the late 70s to pursue higher education, that I met a wonderful person while going to the University of Oregon. I did my master's from University of Oregon and did my PhD from University of Texas. So while I was doing my studies at the University of Oregon campus, that I met a wonderful person, a older woman named Martha Peterson, who was also an officer of staff of the Ministry of International Students Incorporated, which Brother Paul also is involved with. And so she she was very kind to me. She gave me a lot of time and attention, and she demonstrated a character pretty much which radiated the love of Jesus Christ. She was very gentle, very humble, very kind, very generous, and she was a great example of follower of Christ with her whole heart. Her behavior, her love, made a tremendous impact on me. You know, I was a different person before, but she really impacted, she really touched my heart with her behavior, because she showed a lot of love and attention. That made a very, critical difference in my life. And then she gave me the Bible to read. She introduced me to some of the Christians. She took me to the churches. And I began to study the Bible in earnest. Although I had a Hindu background, I could not resist the love of God. That's where I come from. The land of Nepal, it is west between India and China, and Kathmandu is the capital city, and it's predominantly Hindu society. And coming here was a great opportunity. So even though I came from that background, so I couldn't resist the love of God, as I read the life of Jesus, it had a strong impact on my life. The message of love and forgiveness. Now, you don't see that message of love in Hindu religion, because what they teach, that somebody strikes on your cheek, you hit him back. But here, as I read the gospel, if somebody strikes on your cheek, you turn the other cheek. So that was something very good, and it touched my heart. He said, yes, you've got to be tolerant, you should show your love. And then, see, in the Hindu background, it shows a lot of hate. And then here, you know the Bible teaches you that you love your enemy and win people. So that really, these messages of love and forgiveness, sacrificial life, and help people in need, touched my heart. My entire perception was changed, and it was very reinforcing. And then one day, on the 24th of December, 1980, Jesus appeared in my dream. And he said, I love you. And he disappeared. And the next day, the most important moment of my life, 25th of December, I made the most important decision of my life to follow Christ, to accept Christ as my personal Savior. And then my journey began. That was the most important decision of my life. And that changed my entire perception. I was a different man. Whereas before, my perception was to come to the United States, settle down, earn wealth, and just like any American dream. That changed. The next day it changed. It made a great deal of difference in my life. My old perception changed. I became a new person, a new creation. In fact, after my education, you know, what happened was I was offered a lot of lucrative jobs with a very attractive perks attached. But I turned it down. I rejected all the job offers and decided to go to Nepal, to go back to my own country, where there was immense spiritual need. God called me to go back to my country to serve Him. And I followed God's instruction. I became very obedient. My obedience to God. And I returned immediately with the greatest passion to serve Him. And you know, brothers and sisters, we all pay a price. But I was willing and prepared to pay any price for His glory. And it was not easy when I went back. Because my parents, the first thing was my parents rejected me. They disowned me. They said, when they learned that I became a Christian, they said, you are not permitted to stay here. You leave right away. So I didn't have any chance. And I told my wife, I had three children. I was already married. I didn't bring my wife to the United States. And I told my wife, we've got 15 minutes to decide whether you're coming with me or staying with my parents. So 15 minutes was all she got to decide. And then she decided that she will come with me. She'll join me in my journey. And I've always received, you know, support from my wife. And she joined me. And so evangelism began at home. It took 5 years. God used me to lead my wife. And then ultimately my children. So evangelism began at home and then spread out to the villages, to other areas. You know, I lost all my inheritance, all my property, nothing. But that didn't break me down. In fact, that made me even stronger. Sometimes obstacles come, difficulties come. But we shouldn't worry about it because God is with us. Because those are the testing times. We shouldn't falter. We grow. So that didn't bring me down at all. And, you know, I was very happy, very proud that God chose me to be His ambassador to Nepal. And after going through rough times, God provided me a job at the university as a professor, which provided a platform from where I could begin to share the gospel with my people in the villages, most of whom which is unreached. And my burden was for the thousands of villages where people did not know Jesus. And I would take a flight and hike to those villages after a 1 hour flight and bring the Jesus film, the Bible, and the tapes. Many of the people in Nepal are illiterate. 40% of the people are only literate. So the tape in their language is very effective. They listen to it and they relate. And so it has a tremendous impact on the people. And a few would respond and I would go back and follow up slowly. And slowly some house churches meeting began in some of the villages where I would visit. As people in the villages were touched with the love of Jesus, they also changed their view of caste system and the role of women. God used me as an instrument of social change. The rural women are now being treated more respectfully and they participate in a lot of social and political economic activities. So, the gospel is bringing social, political, and economic transformation. In a country close to the outside world, in a country where unemployment is 80%, with so much poverty, slowly it is changing. I estimate that since my return to Nepal 26 years ago, this is just an estimate, I have visited 3,000 villages, just an estimate. And most of the villages are clustered here, within 1 mile, within half a mile, there are villages like that. It has been a blessing and honor for me to serve the Lord and my country in this way. As churches formed, pastors were raised, many of these had no Bible training. Now, many times I'm often asked, you're a professor of what? Business? No. What kind of business? Business, but in the business of saving souls. And so I started a Bible college where now 25 pastors and laypersons are enrolled. And it is a 5-year process which allows them to stay at the village, at the church, and they receive the degree. They receive all the materials freely because Nepal is a country of villages. Most of them are poor, they can't afford. So they receive all the materials freely. And without leaving the village, without leaving their church, without leaving their house, they can study at their pace and receive the degree. After completing 48 credit hours, they receive a degree of Bachelor of Biblical Studies. When I came to the United States in the late 70s, to study, there were only a handful of Christians. There was severe persecution against them. Brothers and sisters, now there are over 1 million believers. Where in the world can you find such a growth rate? Where in the world can you find such a rapid pace of growth of Christianity? Where can you find such a passion? Brothers and sisters, it's a great honor and blessing for me. You know, God is at work in Nepal. It's all God's work. And God has also placed a burden in my heart for the orphans. As a result of the conflict that has been going on for the last 12 years. Of course, now the communists are in power. But there are so many orphans. There are widows. And also God placed a burden in my heart to treat many people in the rural villages who have no access to health services, vision impaired, because they are illiterate, they don't have the proper nutrition, the awareness. So I've been conducting the whole health camp for the vision impaired, perform cataract surgery, and provide them the glasses, the other treatment that they require. There are the photos displayed outside. You see there's how the health camp for the vision impaired is performed. You'll get an opportunity to watch, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. And also you'll find a picture of rural women who are trained in creative evangelism, entrepreneurship, so that they can spread the word of God, and also they can supplement the income and also witness, so they can go spiritually as well as meet the physical needs. I have given more than 26 years of my life to Jesus, brothers and sisters, and I am committed to devote the rest of my life for His glory. And I need your prayers and support in advancing His kingdom. Together, we can make a lot of difference. I've always lived by faith. And my ministry is training, evangelism, orphanage, health camp to the vision impaired. And I and my co-workers devote more than 70% of our time. And brothers and sisters, keep the passion alive. And today I'm going to encourage you, to reinforce, to remind you that there is always this message of love that we should spread to the world. And we are different than the rest of the people of the world. And it depends on how we see the world. and how we interpret the message of love, I would encourage you to look into the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. So you see everybody with a light, with a flame of love. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. So you want to spread the light, the joy, everywhere. Because we are all God's creation. There may not be many people do not know God. But to bring that joy in every person's life. There is always something good in everybody. We should look into that goodness. And it is God that has created us. And it's a, you know, we have planted the primary seed is the goodness. And it is always the way we look at it, though we may sometimes be a little, when we meet, interact with people, we may be sometimes encountering different situations. And it's difficult in today's world, But then we take the message of love in a changing world, no matter what. We all have goodness within us. We must be the good in, we must see the good in everyone. We must love one another. We must love everyone we meet, interact. This is so important in today's changing world. Because we must win people to Christ. That's our mandate. Christianity is a message of love and tolerance, creativity, and we all have the strength to endure, which others don't have. We have so many virtues that we need to spread the fragrance, the joy with our behavior, just like Martha Peterson did. Just like Brother Paul does, just like so many of you brothers and sisters, you do. And with our behavior, we must always make a difference. No matter what type of circumstances, this is very, very crucial. And God has a purpose for all of us. And God molds us to endure, to face the situation and circumstances, and gives us the courage and strength. We must endeavor to bring people to God's family. It is not easy. But we have God's blessings and grace. And we can make a difference. Now I'll show you, brothers and sisters, some pictures. This is the country where this is a very small country. It's just it's long, just like the state of California, but not as big, but very populated, 35 million, and very dense. And I live in the capital city, Kathmandu, which is 5 million people, very dense, very populated. And I go to hike on the western region, as you can see, northwest. And I take a flight from Kathmandu to the nearest port in the west, and then I have to hike. And this is what it looks like. Now, these are some of the pictures of the children. This is how they look like. It's a mixture of Mongolian. Some would look like Korean, Japanese. Some would look like Indian. Some would look like, you know, they're different features. So this will give you a perspective of how people look like. Look at the children. And these are the children of conflict. Their parents were brutally murdered in the civil war. Now, of course, you recognize this man here. So it's so encouraging to see. Look at these young people. Look at these young, you know, they will make a critical difference in the transformation process it's so encouraging to see young people, you know, they are taking the gospel message. It is so encouraging to see the churches, the house churches filled with young people. There is so much future. This is how the Christians meet in Nepal. They don't have their own buildings. They meet in in the houses, in the rooms. Open churches are not allowed, even now. Although Nepal declared itself a secular in 2006, but still, open evangelism is still not permitted. So they can't meet openly. But then they meet, and then baptism, this is how, on the bottom of the picture, you see how baptism is performed. And this all goes through the word of mouth in the river. If they find out, they are persecuted. And so they meet in the church, in the rooms, in the villages, and also under the tree. Many of the, as I noted earlier, that it's a very poor country. And so they don't have their own buildings. And they are not permitted to build any buildings. So they meet in rooms and they meet inside. And this is one of the churches in the far remote areas. This is how we meet. And of course, this is, isn't this encouraging to see? Church filled with young people. It's very exciting, very encouraging. And look at mostly women. Now, you may ask questions like, why women? What happened to the men? Most of the people, like, unemployment is 80%. In the villages, they don't have work. So the men have to leave the village, go to the capital city or outside of the country to look for work. And they send money back. So that's how they make their living. And some of the women, also we train them in evangelism as well as they are taught in entrepreneurship. And so women participate very strongly. Oh, I'm sorry. And so this is, again, another picture of Kevin. And this is how the believers meet, mostly women, because this is how they read, and that is the Bible in Nepali language. And to your right, this is how they sing in the churches, and mostly churches in different locations. And this is the country of Nepal. To your left, most of the villages are located in the hills, and you know, there's a kind of a terrain is quite rough. There are no good roads, no highways, and there's mostly the buildings are built with bricks and grasses on the roof. Some houses would have aluminium roof, but mostly it will be clay and it will be two-storied. And we meet on the second floor, and this is also a picture of the villages, what it looks like. And when you go to hike in those mountains, it's not easy. If you fall in the river, that's it. And there is no health services, nothing, and no communication, nothing like that. And these are some of the lakes that they have to pass through. And sometimes if you're lucky, you meet across leopards and tigers. And one thing good about those porters that I carry is that they carry a big knife. And they said, don't worry if we encounter leopards or tigers or anything, I'll take care of them. So no problem with that. And of course, this is the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. I've never climbed. The highest mountain I've ever been to is 10,000 feet, and that's it. And these are the kind of a trek that you pass through when you go to the villages. You have to walk through like this. And this is like this, about 2-3 feet. And there is no, what you do is when it gets dark, then you stop over a house and ask for shelter, and then you proceed your journey. So it takes two days, 3 days. And these are some of the like rivers that you have to cross on the journey when you go out. And again, if you're lucky, you'll meet crocodiles. You have to be very careful. And these are hills and things like you pass through. So you have to go through hiking like this. And this is how a typical town looks like. You know, they're mostly, they live in extended family, you know, and household size would be like 8-9 people live together, you know, as a joint family. And these are how the people look like. Some of them look, you know, they have a very Tibetan heritage, and some would look like Indians. So different faces of Nepal. And of course, this is a display of the temples, but they are now replaced. So this will give you just an idea. It's temple all over, but this is the whole landscape is changing now as the number of Christians are increasing. And they're pretty much upset about that. So you hear a lot of news about there being very militant Hindus, you know, attacking Christians and all that. And Nepal is one of the most dangerous places for Christians. You know, it's a very risky business. Either the Hindu militants or the government or the politicians, they are on attack all the time. But we have the strength to endure. So this is some of the, you know, how because of their, you know, wrong ideology they have been suffering. So this will just give you a picture of what it is like, you know. And this is kind of a typical market where you get fresh vegetables in the morning and how people, you know, make their living. And it's a very, very poor country. And this is how the women and, you know, make their living. And, you know, how the girls are discriminated. And this is how the Bible has been transported, you know, in the sea with the plastic. And they go to the villages like this, you know, with a Bible wrapped in plastic on the back. That's how it is transported. So I'll show you some of the pictures of the how the about the health camp and is it time? Okay. Now these are the pictures here. So yeah. Now this man you see with a nurse. This man's vision. I mean, he's a diabetic, and he had a visionary problem. He couldn't see well. After his vision was restored, he gave his life for Jesus. So this has been a wonderful ministry, brothers and sisters. And these are some of the pictures that also how this has been undertaken. And we go to the village, remote villages, and we rent. See, this is a wonderful person, man of God now. He gave his life for Jesus because he was completely, you know, he thought that he would never get his vision back. But his vision has been restored and he's given his life. Jesus. And this is how we do it. We conduct the health camp specifically to the vision impaired, and they give their life for Jesus. So this has been, could you please quickly show some other pictures? So this is how it has been done in the schools, and people come, and we treat from anywhere from 300 to 500 people within a week, and they get everything free. And we take the doctors from Kathmandu to the village, we take the equipment, doctors and nurses, and perform this. Well, yeah, I wish I had a little bit more time, but my time is up, I guess. Thank you very much.